How often have you heard the phrase, "It's not the crime, it's the cover-up"? Admittedly, by the police, it was Dr. Stowe's actions following Ava's death that initially drew their suspicion. Why wait? Why wash linens? Why be so stoic and quiet with investigators, but not press agents, if you did nothing wrong? That's why authorities began digging, and what they uncovered was a relationship between victim and defendant so odd, it felt sinister. The state's theory is this. Dr. Stowe began treating Ava and quickly became obsessed. His only patient, he saw her hours upon hours, made decisions for her at work and in her social life, invited her into his family, went shopping for her, dined with her, monitored her. While no concrete evidence surfaced that the two were physically intimate, the state argued, at the very least, the two were sexually inappropriate. In summer of 2017, their relationship unraveled. Ava could no longer be controlled. Her anger and unpredictability escalated. She changed from a vulnerable, compliant patient to a threat, planning to expose his predatory unprofessionalism. And the doctor, motivated by self-preservation of his career, reputation, family, couldn't risk this relationship being exposed. Prudent, though desperate, he deemed it easiest to nullify the threat by ending Ava's life and framing it as a suicide. Is it a difficult case to prove? Absolutely. But it didn't stop the state from bringing charges and from showing the jury every concrete piece of evidence and persuasive incident in their possession. While some already viewed the state facing an uphill battle, these views were further compounded by the stress consistently observed in the jury.
Can you pass me that water?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, great. Super.
Hey, what's wrong? You look like, I don't know, like something horrible happened. What happened?
Mikey.
Sweetie,
you gonna cry?
Dude, let it out. What's going on?
Oh, sweetie, here, take these. Here.
There's some Kleenex there, yeah.
Thanks. What the hell happened in the hallway? Did the bailiff do something?
Oh, no.
He's a bit of a bully sometimes.
I was getting a drink at the water fountain. And I found out a few days ago that you could, like, put in for a conjugal visit.
You can?
Yeah, no one never told me.
No, they didn't tell me either. I wouldn't put in for that.
Well, I put one in, and I just... One of the court staffers just came up to me. I was getting a drink, and they were like, "It's been denied."
Why?
I know.
That's bogus.
Stupid judge said he didn't want any more distractions since we've been so close to the end.
Hey, they can't deny you. Just keep asking again.
They did.
Well, just keep asking again. It's your right,
hey,
Mikey.
Davis,
I won't be seen with Corrigan Janie.
Is there anyone you can go to that's above that? I mean, is there an appeal process or anything?
Someone above the judge.
I don't understand. What does it have to do with being distracted?
Yeah, I mean,
you couldn't even have a watch, and now you can't even have a visit from your husband? Like, I don't get that.
I just wanted to see him. I don't even care about...
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry.
I mean, the fact that we didn't even know until right now. Yeah. No one else knew about a visit.
I had no idea.
But then I wonder how that conjugal visit would go. I mean, I just
Well, apparently
say
it's not going to go at all.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have sex. I mean, you can just see your loved ones. We've all been...
Yeah, you just wanted to hold his hand and have his arms around you for a hug? Yeah.
He lives an hour away. I can't even...
Oh, sweetie.
Sorry, bro.
Well, even if he didn't live an hour away, it wouldn't matter.
Which makes it even more important that we all take a look at the evidence and get on the same page. So we can get out of here and get onto our lives.
Well, that's true. It'd be good to...
His denial of a conjugal visit, it's not going to put us on the same page. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, we are right now.
Well,
thank you all for
Well, we see what the problem is, don't we?
Yeah.
We're sympathetic, yes, for you, Mikey.
Okay, well, whatever. Let's just talk about someone else's fucked up relationship that isn't mine.
Oh, Mikey, watch that language. I'm a lady.
No, he's right. You know, let's talk about her relationship.
But he's upset.
She had relationships with... Okay, where are we at? Rose, what evidence today? Let's go. This is crazy.
A patient will see a therapist for many reasons. Affirmation, insight, guidance. But what remains consistent in any therapeutic relationship is the amount of trust it requires. No other professional relationship approaches the level of vulnerability achieved during psychiatric sessions. A person's innermost secrets are laid bare. And what makes that acceptable, what makes the patient trust enough to do this, is the level of professionalism they expect in response. As you're about to hear, Dr. Stowe implemented highly unorthodox practices in his treatment of Ava Michaels. The question put to this jury is, are intimacy and professionalism mutually exclusive?
Dr. Stowe wrote an essay entitled Analysis and the Famous Patient, a Unique Approach, which I published in the Journal of Psychiatric Practice.
Mm-hmm. Is this that essay?
Yes.
I'd like to mark this evidence as State Exhibit 91. Dr. Mathers, what was this essay about?
It was based on addressing the unique needs of psychiatric patients who happen to be famous. In today's age, with more celebrities than ever, including those rising to celebrity on the internet, it seemed an appropriate time to address this topic. And Dr. Stowe was in a unique position to offer insight because he was well recognized in the psychiatric field and had treated several famous people, including Ava Michaels.
How was this essay by Dr. Stowe received?
Negatively, overall. It was controversial, and I knew going in that it would meet with mixed review.
What was controversial about the essay?
It advised a departure from typical practice. Rather than treating the patient in the office in a clinical setting, Dr. Stowe advised taking the patient home. Rather than keeping all treatment isolated, Dr. Stowe suggested inviting the patient into the therapist's home environment and integrating him or her into the family. It was a very progressive method.
What do you mean by integrating the patient into the family?
Introducing the patient to all family members, including the patient at family dinners and celebrations, sort of adopting the celebrity, or patient, I should say.
I see. Dr. Mathers, were you a colleague of Dr. Stowe's while he was treating Ava Michaels?
Yes, I was.
And did Dr. Stowe ever discuss Ava's treatment with you?
Yes, he did. Sometimes in specifics and sometimes in the context of having his essay published.
So this progressive method, as you call it, was something Dr. Stowe spoke with you about in detail?
Yes.
How did Dr. Stowe come to invent this method?
Well, he had begun treating Ava Michaels, and she had recently been hospitalized. That was traumatic for her. And in addition to having staff and fellow patients gawk at her, hospitalization naturally invited tabloid coverage, and that was also traumatic to her. Dr. Stowe imagined this problem was not unique to Ava, as psych wards and rehabs are as common for celebrities as the rest of us, if not more so. The question he sought to answer was, what is the solution for a person who needs round-the-clock therapeutic help but is unable to attend a formal psychiatric inpatient program?
How did he resolve this?
He decided to sort of become her inpatient program by inviting her into his world, his home life. She evidently needed constant treatment, and she was his only patient at the time. Although he had other commitments, he was able to focus solely on her as an individual. This concept was strengthened by his belief that Ava needed a home life more than anything.
Why is that?
It was Dr. Stowe's understanding that Ava suffered from a traumatic childhood. Since that time, she'd been flailing, trying to recreate a family life for herself. She'd done so in a series of marriages to no avail. She had no house when she began seeing Dr. Stowe. She'd followed one husband to California and another to New York. Her homes and the families she entered were never her own and depended largely on her unstable romantic life. She was originally from Florida, and she had friends and fond memories in Palm Beach, so Dr. Stowe encouraged her to put down roots there, and he began by inviting her into his own home.
How did he do this?
He started scheduling her sessions at his house, and then he began intentionally running late to these appointments, so Ava would be at his house alone when his wife or daughter were there. As a result, Ava began forming relationships with the women. The Stowe's daughter, Colette, was a senior in high school at the time, and Dr. Stowe believed Ava suffered arrested development from her childhood. So the girls, in many ways, had common interests and personalities. They would go for walks on the beach together and shop online. They formed a sisterly bond, just as Dr. Stowe intended.
How did this bond differ between Ava and Dr. Stowe's wife, Judith?
Judith assumed a maternal role in Ava's life. She was a consistent, nurturing force, checking in on the girls, making sure they had enough to eat, offering advice. The goal was assimilation. It was to create a cocoon-like environment in which Ava could feel safe.
What role did Dr. Stowe assume in all this?
The good father.
Is that a term he shared with you?
Yes.
Do you find it inappropriate for a medical professional to intentionally assume a parental role in session?
I found it unorthodox, but there are advancements in psychiatric practice all the time.
Right. Dr. Mathers, Ava Michaels' age was closer to Robert and Judith Stowe than to their children. Shouldn't they have assumed the sibling figures?
Due to Ava's difficult childhood, she identified more with the young ones. Robert and Judith were intentional replacements for the parents Ava could never rely upon. He described them all as Ava's therapy family.
Hiring is difficult, and worse than difficult, it's stressful. I'm so glad to share that there is a place where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates easily. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. ZipRecruiter has a really effective, multifaceted approach. I'm going to break that down. 1. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the internet's leading job boards. 2. They also use a powerful matching technology to scan thousands of people's resumes, identifying those with the right experience and inviting them to apply to your job. 3. As applications roll in, ZipRecruiter analyzes them all and spotlights the top candidates, which really simplifies things for you. 80% of employers who use ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It is a really fast process. With results like this, it's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rating hiring site in America. And right now, my lovable listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CHELSEA. As funny as it is to have my name in the URL. Also, I'll mention everyone who uses this URL is helping out my show directly. So thank you to ZipRecruiter, and thank you to you. ZipRecruiter.com/Chelsea. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
My name is Colette Stowe. I live in Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm the daughter of Robert Stowe.
Colette, how did you first meet Ava Michaels?
I was at home watching TV one day when Ava came over. My dad was running late for their appointment, so she joined me. We were watching one of those holiday Hallmark movies when my mom suggested we get off the couch and go for a walk on the beach because it was a nice day, even though I was a little chilly. Anyway, Ava wanted to go, so I agreed. Even though it was a little awkward that first time.
Why was it awkward?
Well, she was a famous movie star, and I was nervous, I guess. I was 16, maybe 17 by then, but she was so sweet and down-to-earth, honestly. We had a really good talk, and we just sort of fell into a routine after that, going for walks, hanging out before her appointments.
What did you two talk about?
Well, she was this expert on men, and she would give me advice about dating or guys or whatever, and it was always on point. And it was stuff I couldn't go to my parents about, so it was just really nice having her there, like a teacher, kind of. But she was also really funny, and sometimes we'd just laugh about stupid stuff. It didn't matter. It was like hanging out with any of my other friends.
Did your parents encourage you to spending time together?
Yeah, for sure. At the time, I thought they wanted us to hang out because she was a good influence on me.
What do you think now?
Maybe that I was a good influence on her too.
Colette, did it ever strike you as odd that your parents would encourage one of your dad's psychiatric patients to go for walks and spend time with their adolescent daughter?
No. I didn't think it was odd. I thought it was sweet. They obviously cared about her.
Okay. Okay, Colette.
The defense called the Stowe's son, Lionel. He was away at school, studying psychiatry at the time Ava entered the Stowe's household.
When I'd be home on break, it was common to find her in the house.
Even when she wasn't having an appointment?
Sometimes, but she had appointments practically every day. There was a ritual to them. She'd come over with a couple of bottles of champagne, and she would spend time with the rest of us before her appointment started, and then she'd go into my dad's study, and the two of them would be in session for a few hours.
How many hours?
Between 1 and 3, usually. And then she'd come out. And by then, my mom would usually have dinner ready, so we'd all sit down and eat. And afterwards, she'd help clear the table and wash the dishes, just like the rest of us. And then we'd relax and have a glass or two of her champagne, except Colette, obviously. And then Ava would go home. And that happened almost every day.
I see. Lionel, let me ask you, did you ever consider this ritual strange? With one of your dad's patients spending time and eating dinner with the family?
No, not at all. It's really bothered me when people have since described it as a sinister dynamic. It was anything but that. She was a close friend of all of ours. We all cared about one another.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad ever talk to you about, well, his intentions?
Yes. We spoke at length about them. He was not approaching this method cavalierly. He was controlled and precise. He knew what he was doing. He was making her feel safe. He was creating a nurturing environment she lacked and needed desperately. He was doing so oftentimes at personal cost with his and his family's time, etc.
Well, let me ask you. How did you feel about Ava's treatment?
I was glad to be witnessing it. I thought I was seeing the evolution of a new form of therapy. I thought this practice could wind up in all the psychiatric journals and textbooks one day. My dad was a genius.
Mr. Stowe, was there ever a time your father expressed discontent with the treatment of Ava Michaels?
I don't recall.
Did he ever share with you that he was frustrated by his method?
I don't recall.
Did he ever express frustration with Ava herself?
Don't recall.
Was there ever a time that you personally felt Ava was outstaying her welcome in your home?
No. I never personally felt that way.
Did you like Ava?
Yes, very much.
Did you think of her like a sister?
Well, that was the goal of the family experiment, if I can call it that.
And did you feel that way?
I felt... not exactly... I thought she was a nice person. I enjoyed her company. I can't say I thought of her as family.
Were you attracted to her?
Objection. Relevance.
The defense's objection was overruled when the prosecution explained that that it went to the dysfunctionality in the Stowe's family method.
Yes. Of course I was attracted to her. She was one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Did she ever flirt with you?
I mean, she had a way about her that was flirtatious. I didn't take it personally. I mean, meaning I don't think she was ever expressing genuine interest in me.
Did you ever witness her flirting with your father?
Like I said, she had a flirtatious way about her that didn't make it personal.
Your father has described his role in her therapeutic treatment as that of the good father. Did you ever witness him responding to her flirtatiousness?
No.
The prosecution called the maitre d' at a local French restaurant Robert and Judith Stowe were known to frequent. He testified that his restaurant was a romantic French bistro, primarily designed for couples. He testified that Dr. Stowe would dine there sometimes with Judith, sometimes with Ava. Occasionally, the three would eat there together, but this was infrequent. The maitre d' stated that he assumed Ava was Dr. Stowe's mistress due to the affectionate way they were together, touching, whispering. However, he never saw them kiss. Another one of the witnesses the state called in detailing the unusual nature of the Stowes' relationship to Ava was the saleswoman at a women's boutique.
Dr. Stowe would come in before holidays and birthdays, and he would buy items for two women, a size 8 and a size 2. Usually he would purchase for both of them at once.
Did you ever ask him what the nature of his relationship was to the two women he was purchasing for?
No, and that's not my business.
What types of garments would he buy?
Cardigans, skirts, shoes, scarves.
Any undergarments?
Yes, occasionally.
For both women?
Yes.
How long was Dr. Stowe regularly purchasing gifts for these two sizes?
A couple of years.
The Hippocratic Oath begins, "First, do no harm." Doctors are entrusted with the health, the lives of their patients. It is a sacred relationship. Ava Michaels came to Dr. Stowe seeking psychiatric treatment. She was vulnerable. She struggled throughout her life to find trustworthy psychiatric help. Dr. Stowe took her into his care and proceeded to experiment. He crossed every professional line in the book. He brought her home, drank with her, dined with her, shopped for her, all the while counseling and prescribing to her. This poor woman became completely enveloped in the world and experimentation of Dr. Stowe. And what exactly was the nature of their relationship? Was he the good father, as he described to Dr. Mathers? Or was this a more intimate partnership? Ava Michaels was only 10 years his junior. They had candlelit dinners together, with and without his wife. He purchased skirts and scarves for Ava to unwrap on special occasions. He purchased undergarments for her. Does Dr. Stowe really expect you to believe this was a healthy psychiatric treatment program? I'm sorry, but something about this arrangement just does not feel right.
Well, it's a nice picture. I don't think it holds in my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Stowe was cutting edge in his field. He was not Bob Newhart. He didn't attend to his patients once a week in a little downtown office and walk away from them in the other, 167 hours. His treatment program for Ava Michaels, well, it might seem unusual. But let me ask you, does that make it wrong? Special people dictate special circumstances. Ava couldn't attend a regular inpatient program. She needed help. Dr. Stowe thought outside the box and created a regimen specially tailored to her needs. Should he be punished because a few others would try so hard? Should we look at him with judgment because he went out of his way to devote more time and energy to his patient. New therapeutic methods are being developed every day. There are people counseling with horses, with water, with yoga. Yes, this was new. That by itself doesn't make it suspect. It just makes it new.
I feel perpetually behind these days, scrambling to keep up with the things that are important to me. Work, social, life. It's easy for me to get overwhelmed and wind up backburnering important items like eating healthy organic meals. Daily Harvest has turned out to be my solution. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, a snack, or a workout shake with 10 grams of protein, Daily Harvest can provide it. They deliver it right to your door in frozen cups that you pop into your freezer, and everything is plant-based and organic. When you're ready to prepare your beet and sesame poke bowl or chocolate hazelnut protein shake, you simply add water or maybe a milk substitute and blend or heat. Done. It's easier and healthier than takeout. And it's portable, so if you're busy because you're on the go, this is your solution too. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DELIBERATIONS to get 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code DELIBERATIONS for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com.
Yeah,
he
I'm
bought
really
clothes so for her. Yeah. That's well, crazy to me.
I think that's just I was always kind of in the middle, but I am really I'm
good
disturbed.
Yeah.
I'm disturbed by this. I don't know what to.
I'm disturbed too.
He's really
that's creepy. It's creepy. That's the word that comes to mind.
In unison, why. It's creepy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So is it creepy that I brought my daughter undergarments?
Well, how old is your daughter, though?
She's 9.
Yeah, that's very different. That's very different.
Your daughter's over the age of 30 and you're buying her underpants? We got some issues with you.
Well, if my daughter has issues, then I will do that.
If you're her primary caretaker, I understand that. That's really loving and I appreciate your like dedicated fatherhood.
But when her doctor buys her underpants,
that's different.
That's normal, right, Daddy?
Let's not.
The other thing. we're not vilifying your dedicated fatherhood.
Well,
I appreciate
thank
you,
very
you
much.
Wait a second.
Bill.
Wait a second.
This is a
wait,
new practice.
I have something I want to say. I can't imagine bringing somebody that you feel is mentally unstable into your home
with your children.
Yeah.
With your daughter, who is a teenager.
Impressionable.
It's a form of therapy. It's a form of therapy
but
that he was trying out. That's
daughter
right.
Gets all her sex information from a cuckoo that I'm pushing barbiturates up her butt.
Oh,
yeah.
Harriet's throwing shade.
Let's not say cuckoo. Yeah. That's, if anything, we should say lifesaver. Like, this new form of practice mm-hmm. that he's doing is literally saving her life.
Didn't save her life, did it?
Well, I mean, that was a cry for help. He tried. And we think she didn't want to do the normal practices.
I don't
she
understand.
Was unwilling to do regular in-person practices.
She's not conventional. It's going to be unconventional practices.
You are a man with
practices.
One beautiful girl or two beautiful girls?
Just,
girl. Just one? I bet she's gorgeous. You said she, how old is she?
She's 9.
She's 9 years old. I can't even imagine a world where you, Bill, would say, you know what? My daughter has some issues that I can't handle by myself, so I'm gonna find the correct person that I think is clinically, educationally adept at helping her. And when that person says, okay, she can't have these friends, I'm gonna negotiate her contracts, I'm gonna get a maid for her, I'm gonna pick out her clothes. I'm going to bring her into my home. How much control do you need to have? The good daddy? And also, we also know
stop
the
saying
intimacies.
Daddy, say father. It's rubbing me the
but
wrong
but that's his word. The good father, the good daddy.
Father,
we also
yes.
know that this woman was abused sexually by her caregivers as a foster child. So now he's going to be the good father? What does that connotate to someone who is mentally unstable?
And especially because I can't remember exactly who, but they said that he looked at her with affection. And here it is. She's had all these people who've abused her all this time.
Mm-hmm.
What she needed was somebody who didn't look at her.
But you can show affection and it not be sexual affection. I think we can all agree to that.
I also think that's need to take into the account about his essay.
Always it doing wasn't a candlelight restaurant.
It wasn't received very well, but it said in the testimonies that he was running his practice by other doctors, and they said it was progressive and something new that he was trying. So I feel like we also have to take into account, was he actually trying to do something new, or was it, as Harriet and, as Harriet was saying.
Maggie, don't you think it's weird that he didn't have any other clients? Just one client.
I don't think he did say that. But he also had other offers. I think it's a little weird. No, I think it's remarkable. He spent so much time with Ava, developing a new practice, cultivating her. Don't put words in my mouth.
Helping.
And this is just like assuming about Dr. Stowe.
Grooming her. These are the traits of all pedophiles or people in control.
Oh my God, now he's a pedophile and he's a killer?
These are the traits of grooming.
One of the things you have to understand
out under
is,
garments and clothes.
Wait, hold on.
If he went to dinner with her and his wife.
25 years
if he was a pedophile,
I'm trying to stick to the facts. Not name call.
One of the things you need to understand too, though, is that what is the scientific, when you have a size of an experimental group, it is not one.
It often is one. No, any clinical study.
She said a double blind study. They don't do one person. Come on.
When you start, you start with one mouse, right?
No, you don't even start with several. It as a good study.
You have to have a negative
400
versus
you guys,
the positive.
You guys are negating the fact that the children are willing to speak truth at all times. They didn't see anything wrong with this. They were all close. They
weren't
using speculation.
Right.
If we stick to the facts,
exactly.
It's nothing convicting this man of doing anything.
There's no
wrong.
Evidence saying that they were controlled by their dad,
but
the children.
But it's very weird.
It is.
With somebody who is very, so we've established that she has a history of calling out for help. Maybe they're called suicide attempts, whatever it is, and that he's letting his 16-year-old daughter at the time, Colette, be with her alone.
Why doesn't he just check her into a psychiatric hospital for the weekend and hang out with those kids?
And learning about men.
That's not the same.
I mean, I know that Colette
that would not work.
She's 16 years old. Is she not to know about boys?
A patient of his that was in a psychiatric treatment facility.
You're speaking to the new practice.
Into his home with his children. There's no way I'm going to conduct or...
You're not a doctor. Harriet never will be.
And you won't be either because your children are going to be contaminated
childhood.
By someone's trying to control them.
So you have to try new practice. This is called family therapy.
And then he rejects
her. Nurturing
and then he rejects
He's breaking
her.
Ground with her.
And then he rejects her.
He was late on purpose so that they could develop a relationship.
It was in his essay,
so that she would know that he was there to control the strings and he ultimately was in control of everything.
He's trying something new, you guys.
It's
a new technique.
It was a new thing.
Yes, that could have went either way. He could have went walking on the beach with
his daughter who was controlled by her father. Probably
finish.
Buys her panties and slips and garments too.
So they're walking on the beach. This could have went left. It could have went right. They could have gotten into a fight. Harriet, please let me speak.
But
his kids could have. Adeline, Batman and Robin over here. Look, it could have been going left, and it could have been very wrong. But instead, it was going very right. And you all are castrating this man for new therapy.
She died.
Castrating. Yeah, wow. That's an interesting term.
She could have died months earlier. We don't know the duration of how long he was helping her. She could have died previously.
Now you know how it feels, don't you?
Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm just saying, I'd find it a little weird. So he wrote an essay literally documenting everything that he was trying. If someone was trying to get away with murder... Why would he be...
Preach, Mikey.
Why would he be documenting every... And he even told
why
his colleagues...
Why not hide in plain sight?
There's also that, too. He could be hiding in plain sight, but we don't know.
Here's the problem, is the boundaries of psychotherapy. You don't publish in an essay exactly what you're doing with a client.
You are not a
doctor. Doctors
No. That's the standard of almost any.
How do you know that's the standard?
I mean, new
what about the restaurant guy?
I've been to therapy.
He has a restaurant.
They tell me what the standard is.
Oh, for that practice.
So you've never seen Web Doctor MD or any of the magazines where there are new practices being published daily?
There's a lot of different practices.
I don't recall anyone on the web invite me to their your home.
Not therapist, not therapist. Well,
and buy me underpants and clothing.
Well, you don't need therapy, Harriet.
No, I don't. Clearly.
I would disagree.
Okay, too. Okay. So the thing here is that what he published was about psychoanalysis and fame, and it was known that he was, in fact, the therapist to Ava Michael. So if he's publishing, he's clearly publishing about his one client, Ava Michael.
That he had.
Right. So that's how, that was his claim to
fame. Confidentiality is gone.
And
huh?
This we know, yes. Right? We definitely know that his current practices with a patient, which is supposed to have a patient, the confidentiality, so that's an interesting thing in terms of ethics.
But he's treated several famous people. Ethics. It
that's
was just, stated.
That, but that's an interesting point. I want to make sure that we're noting that.
It's a huge ethical issue. He has crossed boundaries
after
every step
boundary.
Along
they both
the
have.
Way. He's
Come
just crossed boundaries.
No,
but
the power
have.
Difference
the
is so
and that's, and that's still speculation.
Watching How him.
Go ahead, yeah, the restaurateur.
This is a guy who owns a restaurant, a couple's restaurant. He watches couples come in all the time. He watches when they fight.
It was the maitre d'. He didn't own the restaurant.
Kiss and make up.
Kiss and make up.
Yeah.
They never kissed. See, we always get away from the facts.
But he did say that they touched each other as a couple would
do. How do we know that's not a form of therapy?
Don't see me over there touching you, bub.
I'm not your therapist, Harriet.
No, you can't do that as a therapist.
We don't know. Listen, how can you not? This is a new practice. So therapists don't touch?
No.
Adeline, therapists
don't
grab your hand.
Enemas in your buttocks.
Not like that.
Can we talk about the... Like, so are we saying that we think that there was a sexual relationship between...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can we not say what we think and stick
right.
to the facts?
Let's talk
about what we
I
saw.
Don't think that there's
we saw the restaurant tour. Like, they were touching each other lovingly at the table several times, with and without his wife.
That is his opinion. They could have been touching. It might not have been lovingly. It could have been therapeutic.
That's right. It could have been affectionate.
No,
it doesn't have to be
but
sexual
what about the
in
family
nature.
Intention? So his whole thing that he is talking about with his book, The Psychoanalysis and Family, the essay that was mm-hmm, published, mm-hmm. he's talking about something called the therapy family. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And so if he's having, so if we're getting testimony that it appeared as if there were a romantic couple and not a father-daughter couple, which he wants to be the good father, yeah. I mean, that's something that we
that's
have to
establish.
That's
definitely a dichotomy.
So we see that there's some sort of issue there.
He
and
definitely
so does
has some
that
issues
destroy,
with his own therapy.
Yeah, that doesn't that destroy the intention of
family? So he doesn't even know what his own therapy
I
is.
I think as well right. with Lionel.
He's trying
as
something
well.
His
new.
Therapy. I think we don't know what his therapy is.
Right.
And everything is hearsay from what they see. My opinion is that you're sitting next to Mikey. You're ready to jump his bones. That's just my opinion. Am I correct? Probably
you
not.
Do, you do know.
But again,
I'm
looking,
right.
looking through my lens.
Arm over a candlelight dinner, going. Oh,
ooh, we don't know that they
don't
were
know
fondling
what you're
arm.
Exactly.
You're embellishing. They said there was some contact. We don't know if it was arm fondling. If we just stick to what has been said.
Facts.
Exactly. I think we can get a better understanding of this new experiment.
Dinner with your psychiatrist is not. Ethical in any book. Sorry.
But it's not also
it's not,
unethical to
ethical.
Have.
And it's not the
not
good
ethical.
Father. He's not promoting his own therapy. I think like that there's something very fishy there.
I don't normally have candlelight dinners with my father either, nor do I allow him to buy me
Rose,
undergarments or clothing.
I respect you so much, but how do we do know too. That this isn't part of his effect? I mean, they often went with his wife. So wouldn't that look like a mother and a father sitting down
weird.
With the daughter? Who's to
maybe
say
she
that
was controlled as well. Her
weird.
Husband bought her
we just
clothing.
Know that they were working.
Right.
How many
if
husbands buy their wives' clothing?
It doesn't mean, you know.
My husband takes me with him. When
oh,
he
does he take you?
Clothing.
Oh, yes. Does he come home and buy your dresses and skirts and blouses and just
no,
have them set up for you later
no,
at a
he's
later
cheap.
Date?
No.
He said
doesn't
no.
Do that?
See?
Did you ever do that, Bill? Did you ever do that for your wonderful wife when you were married?
We're not talking about Shannon.
We're talking about men and their habits with their wives and their
personal Harriet.
Well,
you guys
it's not about being personal.
Okay.
It's about, look, we're talking about proclivities.
What?
If this gentleman has a wife, then he should behave, as society says, in a certain kind of way. Most men that have wives don't go to dinner at candlelight restaurants.
Society used to say that women should be barefoot, holding baby, and cooking in the kitchen. So let's not talk about society. Let's just stick to the facts. This man was trying to help her.
If we're going to be barefoot in the kitchen, I definitely want that slip then. Thanks, Bill.
You know,
okay. Hold
right,
on
what
a
about
second.
The
son? Other
okay,
thing,
Lionel Stowe.
The other
right.
thing that we need to consider is that, according to Lionel, she brought over two bottles of champagne every
herself.
Time.
That was weird, too.
Very strange.
And I just want to let you know that none of my therapists were in favor of me drinking, nor my friends who go to therapists said that their therapist was in favor of them drinking. And
why?
Here he is promoting.
Right. I see that, but to compare your situation to her situation is comparing, you know, sharks and lions.
She's
do you have her past? Her past of the
she was a habitual drinker. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to bring up, you know, the previous, the way she was, you know, brought up, her mother being schizophrenic, unloved by her dad.
But
those aren't the same traumas and emotions. Has everything to do with it.
She was abusing alcohol, so I would say her bringing champagne rather than bringing a fifth of tequila or Hennessy over.
Isn't it interesting that you have a psychiatrist that prescribes you medication when you know that your client is addicted to alcohol? He's a good doctor, right, Bill?
It's champagne, not hard alcohol. So that could have been him winning her off of the alcohol, going to champagne, and eventually she would have been bringing over water, just like he was taking her off of the Ritalin.
Is that how your alcohol therapy went? You weaned off of one alcohol to another?
Yeah,
that makes perfect sense, Bill.
That you quit cold turkey. If you're trying to get somebody off alcohol.
That's not true, Adelaide.
Yes, yes,
that is not true.
It is, absolutely.
I used to smoke, and I tried to go from a pack to nothing, and I couldn't do it.
Okay.
I had to wean myself from a pack to maybe half a pack.
You go to any program out there, and
she was unwilling to go to a program, but I hear you.
She did go to any program, and she didn't stay.
She called it. Okay.
All right. You go to any kind of a rehab program, and you ask them.
Talk about what. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And what they do is they say that you need to go off of everything, and some programs even require you to go off of caffeine. So here is a psychiatrist who supposedly it has her best interest in mind and is encouraging her to bring two bottles of champagne every night
to his
house.
Never said he was encouraging her.
Correct.
He never once said, hey, don't bring this alcohol to my family with my children.
Side note, I know there's a lot of weird things that just don't, the dots don't connect, but something I want to bring up, does anybody else find it just a little weird that he called both publicists but didn't call his family? If they were so close,
ooh,
why would he have...
Mikey.
Oh, excellent.
No, I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad that he brought
excellent.
That up.
I am too. I'm glad you brought
no,
that up.
No, I mean,
up,
like,
too.
It's a legitimate thing, isn't it?
His family, his therapy family.
Yes.
And now
right.
there's a death in the day.
So,
and they couldn't cover her with a sheet, but
and
they
at that
had to
time,
go have
would
drinks
Well, let us respond to that.
Yeah,
let us respond
please.
To your question. You know,
yeah, go ahead, Krasinski.
You want to take it?
Or Bill, or anyone who's willing to help me out here.
I'm not a therapist, but I'm not going to invite someone into my house, get them close to my family, my daughter and my son, whom I love, my wife,
exactly.
whom I love. Please, I just want to finish. I just want to finish. Okay, with the jokes. I wouldn't invite them in.
It wasn't a joke. You wouldn't.
Get them close to my family, then to murder them. That would destroy my family. I am, in a sense, bringing someone in that is going to hurt the people I love.
You already right. have control over your family. So next,
no.
you're good
speaking
to go.
To
Let me just
personally.
Say.
What about you, Krasinski?
Yeah, let's hear what.
Your question is, why did he call the publicist first before calling his family? Was
or even,
question?
Yeah, I mean, like, because, I mean, he also. Okay, yeah, just
sure, right?
Yeah, go with that.
That's
go
your
with
question.
That's
right?
my question.
Right.
Or my thought, not really a question.
Totally can't even talk.
It's just so hot.
Yeah, I know. You know, you're totally right in asking that question, but I think you have to think about his professionalism, okay? His
what professionalism?
He is a doctor first.
Oh,
he's
no.
a doctor first,
he's
so he's going to call.
But he buys her slips and pants
show
and brings
him
home to her
professionalism.
House.
Oh, my God.
Even your argument is so sad.
Get the dogs barking.
All right,
Adelaide.
I think we should head a gavel.
Okay.
Everyone's like my corgi.
If anybody is going to take reins of the situation, it's going to be the doctor that knows everything. He's going to go off from the checklist. He's going to start from the publicist.
No, checklist should have included police first.
He doesn't have to call his family first.
Oh, he wouldn't call his family therapy.
I was wondering why he didn't call them at all. I mean, I understand he also might have wanted to tell them in person, as I probably would have liked to have been told. But at the same time, it's just like it's a thought that I thought
it's
was intriguing.
I want to save my family.
Even
I don't
wife,
want them crying
exactly.
at this
right.
time of
oh,
the morning.
Oh, but they're gonna bring a psychiatric patient into the house and let them walk on the beach
no,
with their 16-year-old daughter.
I mean, that's a good point, Mikey. Because I mean. It's three. He gets the call at. He arrives at 1:15, so he's gotten the call.
Broke
he
into
got the,
the
call at 1:15.
Yeah,
so
he got there half an hour later.
Informed that he's leaving
he
in the middle
that,
of the night.
The,
so she must be waiting for some
for some kind of comfort.
Why didn't she get a call?
Right.
I mean, that's an interesting. I don't know. That's
right.
Well,
yeah,
I don't want.
I would expect him to at least call his wife.
Mm-hmm,
who's
mm-hmm.
to say that he didn't after he took care of business? Because his family right now is
the
well endowed.
The police records do not
right?
show the call record
that,
there. Those
no,
the call
no,
records
and that's
were not
exactly
there.
What I'm saying.
They were not there. He did not call his family.
I know that he wanted to take care of Ava and make sure that this wasn't turned the wrong way.
He right. wanted to take care of Ava's business, not
in
her physical
morning,
body.
He had no.
He had to take certain steps.
He's not repping any benefits.
He had to
from
call her publicist
dead,
to take care of her dead body.
He had to take
right.
What are you thinking?
Call his family.
Thank you.
What was that? that, Mikey?
What are you thinking? Like, I've heard a little bit of everybody. I want to know what Rose wants to say. Shed a little light on the situation. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can give you any air, but
if
I can
I'm hot,
maybe give some
it's
light.
Really hot.
Look,
I'm
you guys.
Always cold.
I've been consistently in the middle here. I take it very seriously, looking at the facts, and I understand that everybody. I mean, we're all looking at the facts, and I know we take it seriously. And it's really suspicious to me that the person who wants to be the father figure here, the good father, knowing her history. Right, knowing the fact that she has been abused by caretakers, which Harriet and Adelaide had pointed out.
They were her father figures, not just caretakers, they were father figures.
And that she's had a history of, you know, a complicated relationships with males. I mean, she's seeking out their attention sexually. She has a flirtatious nature that Lionel also, but he didn't take it personally because he knows her and all these things. And then we're seeing, we're getting testimony that people in restaurants have seen them being touchy, suggesting a romantic relationship. I mean, all of that's very... compelling in a direction which, I mean, I'm suspicious of him now in a way that I wasn't before. Yeah. And I want to look more at all of the evidence, but I feel myself being swayed in a particular direction. But I also understand that we need to know more about Dr. Stowe.
May I say one thing?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
Don't we think that Ava would be more comfortable in a setting in which she's always felt that way? Hold on, Harriet. With her former relationships, she always wanted to be with someone.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Stowe's new method is implementing himself in that position. It is nothing more than therapeutic.
We're not experts on therapy. We can't dictate that. But I do think from what we know, there are some suspicious, unconnecting dots. That's what you said, Mikey, and I think that's a good phrase to describe this, and those dots, because they're not connected, they leave a lot of suspicion. And I feel like before it was unclear, but it's more clear now.
On next week's episode, we're exploring the missing element of this tangled, dysfunctional situation: Ruth Ivanov. Next time on Deliberations.
One time Ava caught her reading her mail.
Her story didn't make sense.
It's fishy.
Today's cast: jury, Cammie Middleton, Brandon Lamberty, Teru Hara, Tony Love, Chris Markle, and Becky Brown. Courtroom: Dan Lerner, Nora Fisher, Marissa Sullivan, Denise Hoey, Dominic DeSantis, and Sherry Effries. Thanks to every listener out there. Your subscriptions and listens and mentions and support mean everything to me. I feel gratified every day to have the smartest, most caring people engage in this content. You're all helping me find answers and leading me to smarter questions by the way you hear and interpret this fiction. So thank you. I love you. Talk soon.